So I have a, I'm going to start with a question. I'll finish this question at the end. It really has absolutely nothing to do with the speech originally, but it will at the end. I get a chance every once in a while to go on a hike and completely get off the grid, go out in the wilderness, hike for 100 miles, 7 days. I mean, really do it and go. And I have a question for you. When you do a hike like that, what do you absolutely have to make a hike like that? There's one thing that you really need to make that hike. Is it the food or is it water? Or is it your tent, your sleeping bag, your water pump, poles? What is it? I'll answer that question at the end. I'll tie it in with what we need, brethren, what we need. In a review, the last 3 or 4 weeks, we've gone through quite a process, haven't we? To one degree or another, we've gone through quite a process. We've de-leavened our homes. We've examined ourselves, our attitudes, and our alignment with God's will. We maybe fasted and studied on some things that, aspects in our life that we'd like to have in our life, And we've all gone through the process of removing that leavening, and maybe two of us have thrown out a toaster. I knew a guy that did that. He'd throw the toaster out every year and buy another $15 toaster. Good guy. Still a believer. But we go through this process, and we come now to here. What are we doing here today, and what are we going to do for the next 7 days, and where are we going to end up next Friday night, as a result of these days? What's God's will in our life, and what are we to get out of these days? The days of unleavened bread. There's so much, and I'm not going to tell you anything new, but I'm going to remind you of a few things that we can focus on. This is an appointed time by God, and we're here to focus. There are three commandments in this holy period of time. One is an offering. The other one is what we're doing right now. We're meeting. And the other one is to eat unleavened bread, unleavened bread. The focus of this period of time is apparently to eat unleavened bread. And so what I want to talk to you today about is three aspects of unleavened bread that if we focus on it, it'll enrich the actual 7-day experience that we have in front of us. If we focus on those three things. What I'd like to do is just go ahead and turn to John 6 and just a little bit of a definition of who the bread is. And I know we go over this obviously in preparation for Passover. It's clear who the unleavened bread of Passover is. But if you begin in John 6 and verse 30, it says this. Therefore they said unto him, what sign will you perform that when we may see it, and we may believe in you? He said, our fathers ate manna in the wilderness in the desert, and as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven. And Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Clearly, he's referring to himself. I don't think there's really any argument that the days of unleavened bread could easily be the days of Jesus Christ. The days of unleavened bread. If you would, just scoot a little bit farther to verse 48. Here's what Jesus says. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven, and if anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give in my flesh, which I shall give for life, the life of the world. So I think we understand that these days are a reflection again. It starts with Passover and that rich experience of taking the unleavened bread and the wine. But then we're also eating unleavened bread for 7 days. And what can we learn from it? Do we just eat the bread? Do we just fulfill that responsibility and just eat the bread? Or do we really think about it? I want to focus on three aspects. The very first one is the bread of affliction. If you turn over to Deuteronomy 16 and verse 3. Deuteronomy 16 and verse 3. And it says there, you shall eat no unleavened bread with your food. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread with it. This is the bread of affliction. For you to come out of the land of Egypt in haste, that you may remember the day in which you came out of the land of Egypt, all the days of your life. So when we eat unleavened bread, one of the things for sure that we have to remember is that bread of affliction. I looked up the definition of that. The definition of that affliction means misery and depression. So we can reflect on our own personal deliverance, and the bread of affliction that you may have had before you actually chose this way or called to this way. you know, your own personal sins, your own. And we did this again at Passover. But again, I think it'd be rich to actually, each time you take that bread for the next 7 days, think about your own personal bread of affliction and what you went through in the process of Jesus Christ in your life, your baptism, and that whole experience. You know, think in terms of your own deliverance, your deliverance from your sin. In my own personal example, I remember I was in a religion. I was really serious about it, wanted to be have a big part of it. But man, my life was a mess. It didn't answer any of the questions that I needed answered. It didn't help me at all. And I gave it up, and then I went back to it, and still didn't help me at all. And I remember being really arrogant about that religion, and that was what I was supposed to be doing, apparently, and that's the only religion and whatever. But I remember seeing that we would play in this park, and across the street from this park was this group of people, and they met on Saturday. That was the strangest and oddest thing. And I remember my own arrogance of what I thought of life or what I thought of religion. I've been delivered from that. We've all been delivered in one way or another. We had a really good conversation last night. It was excellent. As somebody said, because my experience was firsthand, I was in something else, and then I was here. And many of you, matter of fact, I would say most of you, have probably been raised in the church. And I said, what's that like? We kind of went around, and the person said, you know, I thought this was so deep. Being in the church and accepting this way of life and accepting Jesus Christ was like an arranged marriage for them. For me, that meant something. That meant, well, I've never really understood that process. But they've too, you all, have been delivered from who you are, from your own bread of affliction, so to speak, in one way or another. And it is a process every day, obviously. But one of the things that we have to think of when we eat that bread is the bread of affliction. And of course, you know, Jesus was afflicted. Our own bread of life, our own unleavened bread, Jesus was afflicted, Isaiah 53. And again, we went through that before Passover, but it's sure helpful to remember. You know, you bite into that bread this week, think about it. Just take a second of your own deliverance and what Jesus Christ has done for you and what he had to go through and what you've been delivered from. The second scripture I'd like you to turn to is Leviticus 23 and verse 6. Leviticus 23 and verse 6. On the 15th day of the sixth, and by the way, this is where we find God's appointments, isn't it? Of the holy days. This is why we're here. On the 15th day of the same month, the feast of unleavened bread is to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy meeting. And on the second day you'll do no customary work. So this, I looked up the translation for, it doesn't say bread of affliction here. It just simply says unleavened bread. Well, it actually says sweet bread. It actually means to actually go after or be very, very hungry for sweet bread. I think most of us would not think of unleavened bread as sweet. I know we can doctor it up, make it good, and put stuff on it. You know, there's all kinds of tricks on that. But there's a sweet side to this story, isn't there? Each time you eat that unleavened bread, there's a very, very sweet part of the days of unleavened bread that, you know, will remind us of what's been done for us and who we are now, what God has done for you and I and his calling and the blessing of all the blessings that we have, just able to be here and know and get to know him at a deeper level, to remember that we're children of God, that we've been called children of God, that we're reconciled to him, that we have a kingdom to come to look forward to, and whatever illnesses or problems and things that we're having, eventually that's all going to be over. There's a sweet part of Jesus Christ that's going to culminate when he returns. And that, too, is in the bread when we eat it during the days of unleavened bread. We think of terms of, you know, what Jesus said about us. You know, he called us his brothers and co-heirs and friends. And he said he loved us. And, you know, he really internalized that. He loved his disciples, but he loved you and I. And he says so. And he says it in such a bold way. So when we eat that bread, think in terms of, yeah, there is a really, really good side to this. It isn't about feeling bad all the time. It's about actually eating the bread. Yeah, there's bread of affliction. There's bread of sweetness. And for reference, I had John 15, verse 9 through 11. John 15, verse 9 through 11. If I can. Jesus' own words. And listen to this and internalize this. And when you eat the bread, think about it, if you would. As the Father has loved me, I has also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that your joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. See, it's almost just the opposite, isn't it? You know, there's the bread of affliction, but there's also the bread of joy. It is there. It's in the Word. It's very rich. And by the way, when you step out of the commandments, He doesn't stop loving you. You stepped out. Doesn't mean He stops loving you. He still loves you. Part of the bread of sweetness, part of what these days represent, at least the part of Jesus Christ, the unleavened bread, represents love, and it represents joy, and it represents the kingdom and all that is good that's going on, and your transformation, all that's going that's good in you, going on inside of you. Well, that'd be enough to chew on, but there's one more. And the two, if you internalize the bread of affliction and you internalize the bread of sweetness, it produces something. And this is often where we start in proving the holy days or starting the process of preparing for the holy days. But I'd like you to turn over to 1 Corinthians 5. Again, these are, you know, we've used these scriptures, we use them all the time, but I just want to have, the main point I want to get across is when we take the unleavened bread this week, to think about, just to think about these three things, maybe. And maybe it'll enrich us and make us think a little bit more deeply about Jesus Christ and what He's doing in our lives. Focus on Him. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7 through 8. Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you are truly unleavened, for indeed Christ is our Passover. And we did that. We purged ourselves. We thought about, reflected. We reflected again, as we do every year. And sometimes that reflection can be difficult. Didn't change as much as I wanted to last year. I still have that problem. But I'm still willing. We're still all willing, aren't we? We're still willing to go through that process and purge the sin from our life. We did that. But then it says in verse 8, therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, but not with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So the third thing that you can think about when you have the bread this week is think about sincerity and truth. Sincerity and truth. What is internalizing everything that Jesus Christ does for us? It produces a pureness, which is sincere means. I looked it up. It says to be pure. And truth, in John 4:14, verse 6, He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. It produces you to become more like Him. And I think that's the point, isn't it? The point of the days of unleavened bread is to and Passover and all. Yeshua is the truth. You know, if we internalize our deliverance and our reconciliation, we're going to become more like Him, and we're going to produce that. But, you know, if you think in terms of, what if you don't? What if we don't internalize humility and love and sacrifice and affliction and sweetness? What if we don't? Who will we look like? Well, we'll look just like the Pharisees that He was talking about, the Pharisees, the leavening of the Pharisees. The more you move away from Him, the more you're going to look like something that isn't right, that isn't sincere, that isn't authentic. Sincerity and truth. You know, whatever sins you might be fighting with, whatever we may be fighting through, pride or arrogance or lust or envy or anger or apathy, addiction, laziness, foul language, idolatry, hatred, no matter what your problem is, there isn't a single one that Jesus Christ isn't willing to help you with. And these days, if we think about eating this bread, think about what He's doing in our life, and think about some of these things, put us in the right state of mind, won't it? Put us in the right attitude. God has set an appointment for you and I, brethren. It's overwhelmingly obvious that in order to remove sin from our lives, and it's academic, we have to have Jesus Christ in our lives. We can get a jackhammer and a sledge and try to hammer all these things out. Unless we think about Jesus Christ and the qualities of Him in our life, it's going to be difficult to do at best. But the less we will sin. So I have an answer to my question. Terry Wood is excluded from the question. If you're going to go hiking over 100 miles in the wilderness, what do you absolutely need to make that trip that you have to have? It's a little fun, but anybody have an answer? Compass? Okay, compass. Water. Water's good. Okay. Food? Okay. Shoes. The answer is shoes. And I'll tell you why, because you're not going to get 40 feet without a pair of shoes. I had an experience on that hike that I did 2 years ago, and this guy, they did something crazy, and he couldn't wear his shoes anymore because he tore up his feet. And he had to wear, then he had to wear like sandals, which of course he still had 20 miles to go. But you can imagine those 20 miles took were just painful. He absolutely needed a pair of shoes. Now, how do I tie this in? All right. If we tend to look at what we absolutely need in our lives, is it you? Is it your will? Or is it the life of Jesus Christ? Is it to remember the affliction and the sweetness and the sincerity or truth that's going to deliver you in the blood of Jesus Christ? That's what's going to deliver us. So, brethren, let's remember our affliction. Let's remember the sweetness of Jesus Christ. And let's become people who are sincere and full of truth, which begins with these days.